We are in Luke's gospel still. You know, we're looking at the teachings of Jesus and the parables and also what he had shared with the disciples. And Dr. Luke recorded it very, very well. Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. And this relates to our day and time. Hear God's word. Subtitle in Luke 21 is Jesus Foretells the Future. Starting at verse 5. Some of his disciples began talking about the beautiful stonework of the temple and the memorable decorations on the walls. But Jesus said, "The time is coming when all these things will be so completely demolished that not one stone will be left on top of another." "Teacher," they asked, "when will all this take place, and when will there be a sign of ahead of time when you might return?" "Well," Jesus replied, red letter edition, "don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming to be the Messiah and saying, 'The time has come,' but don't believe them. And when you hear of wars and insurrections, don't panic. Yes, these things must come before the end, but won't follow immediately." Then he added this, "Nations and kingdoms will proclaim war against each other. There'll be great earthquakes, and there'll be famines and epidemics in many lands, and there will be terrifying things and great miraculous signs in the heavens. But before all this occurs, there'll be a time of great persecution. You will be dragged into the synagogues and prisons, and you will be accused before kings and governors of being my followers. This will be your opportunity to tell them about me. So don't worry about how to answer the charges against you, for I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply. Even those closest to you, your parents, your brothers, your relatives, and your friends will betray you, and some of you will be killed, and everyone will hate you because of your alliance and allegiance to me. But," I love the buts in scripture, "but not a hair on your head will perish by standing firm. You will win your soul." May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. You know, in the nautical terms, sometimes a captain of the ship or whatever, they will say, you know, stay the course. Was wondering about that. So I titled my message, Stay the Course. Remain on the course that you're on, and you will receive your eternal salvation. Wow! That's a little Ralphieism added this morning. Can you spot a liar? Can you detect whether somebody's telling you the truth or not? I think most of us can unconsciously detect a lie without consciously knowing why. You know, Jesus said, "Test the spirit to make sure it's of me." And that's what he's referring to even in the scripture that we read here in Luke. Now, others find it hard to tell the difference between a lie and the truth. And those who study lying say that if you or I tell a fib, we will reveal ourselves easily by our facial expressions, our lack of eye contact, restlessness, or discomfort. This is because somewhere inside we feel uncomfortable with our own inauthenticity. Most people are terrible liars. Although there's a few, they get pretty good at it, as a matter of course. But like any gift, some have a natural gift for lying. That's a reality that we all have to deal with sometimes. And I think these kind of people often see lying not as deceptive, but simply as an opportunity or part of their job, if you would, in a sense. All writers, actors, advertisers, to some extent, lie. They create an alternative truth so that they present to others the benefit of telling a story. Now, these kind of lies are what we might call white lies. I'm sure you've heard that term over the course of your life. White lies, they aren't harmful. But in some cases, we appreciate them as an art. some blatant white lies are socially acceptable as well. For example, you wouldn't tell your friend that you don't like her haircut or like your new car, although some people can be so cruel and say, I don't like that car. Or you tell a little white lie because you care for your friend and you want to celebrate and join in his or her joy. I think everyone, now that's a broad brush, I know, but I think everyone is confronted sometimes with multiple lies every single day of our life. Now, while most are unintentional and not harmful, others can be deliberately deceptive, divisive, and divisive even. Natural liars may be harmless and prevalent, but psychopathic liars are worrisome and harder to detect. You know, we like stories. The wolf in the famous story of the Red Riding Hood. Some lies can appear to be honest and sweet and gentle and helpful and even familiar while hiding a wolf's deceptive heart inside. Psychologists distinguish between natural liars and psychopathic liars. They've even done studies on these. And while natural liars feel confident about their ability to lie well, they don't use their ability to lie to harm others. They have that fine line. They fear being caught, and inexperienced guilt or stress when identified them as liars. Or they might accept their lies as a matter of course and a harmless part of life. Natural liars flock to professions such as acting, sales, law, diplomacy. And others, sometimes their gift can contribute to their success. Pathological liars, on the other hand, can be dangerous. They lack empathy, guilt, remorse, and they show no facial expressions. They don't even look away when they're lying to you. They are difficult to discern and even more difficult to catch because they feel no guilt, no pity, no regret. They typically fool experts even and pass polygraphs because they feel no inner twitch in their spirit. You know, no problematic conflict. They don't feel anything. They can lie without reason or goal or purpose. Psychological type of liars are the most dangerous type of deceivers because they embody lying as a mode of being. Their entire life is a lie. This is the kind of liar that Jesus warns us to stay away from. Remember that old shifty servant back in Genesis who approached Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? Remember the presence of Satan in the wilderness and that experience? Remember the first Adam who missed the lie? Jesus, the second Adam, who saw it for what it was? What was the difference between the first Adam and the second Adam? Well, Jesus notes that you can tell the difference whether somebody is lying or not, and to test the spirit and make sure it's of him. And that's where our conscience comes in, as we sometimes confuse with the gift of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus, he has a lot of experience in identifying liars, and they know that he can see through them. Scripture's full of it. Look at the demons who feared him in Gerasene. And look at the Pharisees who tried to challenge him and trip him up at every pass. Look how he recognized Judas' deceit before he even betrayed him. Jesus is adept at recognizing liars because he sees our hearts. Now, we can trust Jesus to guide us when we're confronted by lies. The scripture that I shared with you today, when Jesus tells his disciples to be careful not to be led astray, he's warning them about these liars, these skilled liars, the hard-to-identify liars. Liars mask as, good people. Liars who come in the very name of Jesus, even. That's why it's so important to test the spirit. Well, these people who say they know something that you don't, who challenge your faith or even focus in a way that presents you a better way. But how does Jesus train his disciples? We're modern-day disciples, so we need to be trained too. He trained the disciples that was with him then and even now to recognize and avoid liars, even the ones who are hard to discern. His advice is simple. Don't look away. Focus on the mission. Profess Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. Stay the course. And don't spend your time imagining what is to come. Do not plan, do not plot, do not prophesy. Another word for just preaching. You have to watch for false preachers too. Do not fret. Do not put your trust in constructs or rules or earthly temptations. No, simply testify to what you know and have experienced in the personhood of Jesus Christ. Proclaim the good news. Testify to his identity. Tell his truth. Testify of his resurrection. Testify of his message to those who attack you and contradict you or even disbelieve you. They cannot harm you. If you turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this earth will go strangely dim. And you can stay the course. It's hard. It's not easy. But you can stay the course. Because Jesus recognized both then and now that life is going to be filled with challenges, with lies, with chaos and storms. Amen. The course will be rough, rocky, and turbulent. And staying loyal to Jesus will always be the unpopular decision, even in dangerous decisions. But I love the buts. But Jesus assures his disciples that their trust, their faith, and their loyalty will secure them in the end if they will just stay the course. Imagine for a moment that you're entering into a hall of mirrors. You ever been in those places? They're creepy. You know the path will be filled with deception. You cannot trust your eyes. You cannot trust those who tell you which way to go. You can only keep your inner eye steady, trusting that you will find your way through and come out the other side. Yep, you got to stay the course. And I think that's what it's like for us as Christians, navigating a world today filled with deceptions, distractions, and lies. You will inevitably be tempted to give up. You may even imagine yourself on a path only to be faced with yet another false image. But close your eyes and trust Jesus to be your guide, and he will lead you. We as Christians, through this faith, we need to trust our inner eye that affords us the trust that we're able to walk forward with our eyes closed and our sight clear. Faith is not seeing the path in front of us. Faith is trusting that the path will be there when we dare to take our first steps. Remember, grandchildren, children, even yours. I don't remember when I took my first steps, but I know that I did. And I think that I was able to be blessed as we grow and then watch our children take their first steps. You see, faith is a feeling that lets us know that truth is not something we see, something that we build, something tangible or something sure. Faith is knowing that Jesus Christ is there and trusting in his presence through the Holy Spirit, even when things get rough. John and Julia, they asked their friend sometime to join them on a rafting trip. And they all wore their waterproof vests. They took provisions and they learned the greatest rule of white water rafting, never to let go of the raft, no matter what happens. No matter how rough it gets, no matter how inviting the shoreline looks and how easy it is just to jump off. Never let go of the raft. Oh, you got to stay the course. I think the only way to survive is to stay the course. As they hit the rocks, the raft begins to weave and pitch from one side to another. I've never been on one, but I watch videos of one. And it's a challenge. Thrown between the rapids, they approach the waterfall with fear and trepidation. And when fear gripped them and they longed to jump out, the voice of their coach that was on board said, "No matter what happens, never let go of the raft. Keep your eyes ahead. Focus on the path. Stay the course." Well, down they went. For a moment, it felt like the raft was just flying aimlessly through the air. They gripped the sides of the raft. They closed their eyes. They felt the impact of the raft plunged into the cascading waterfalls. Down they slide fast and furiously. Then at last, they were streaming down the river towards their destination. Wow. I think sometimes the world can feel as chaotic and as frightening as rafting. Because we're on this journey. And sometimes we can feel that there must be an easier way. And sometimes we would like to believe those voices that tell us, "Well, I know the way. Come here. I know the answer. I know the future." I seen one of those signs the other day coming, I don't know, maybe it was in Tallahassee somewhere. A palm reading, fortune telling, right here. Come on in. I think it was up on Thomasville Road. But anyhow, you got to be careful. You got to test the spirits to make sure they're Jesus. Now, they're sure that they know their rules, and they know their readings, and they know their view, and they are convinced they know the way. But in those times that you get challenged, remember Jesus' voice when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hear my voice and follow my lead. Proclaim my message and keep your eyes on me. Testify to the truth, hold on tight, and never let go. Stay the course." Wow. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look into his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Brothers and sisters in Christ, stay the course. God loves you, and so do we.